Cool, we're back. Yes, people, welcome back again to the podcast. This is episode 20 of Cricket Talks, a little milestone, like I said before. But yeah, man, I'm joined by Aaron again. How are you doing, man?
I'm doing very, very well, Mo. Valentine's Day, of course. We've had some fantastic cricket on Valentine's Day. Starting the day off with a cheeky bit of test cricket between India and England. Then, of course, West Indies versus Bangladesh, which had a fantastic conclusion. Raheem Cornwall, what a game he had. And then concluding with the centrepiece, I suppose, for Pakistan fans, the Pakistan versus South Africa T20 match, which was an absolute thriller. We'll talk more 100%. About it in today's podcast. But yeah, thank you very much for having me on, Mo. And of course, for anyone watching / listening to the podcast, go give him a follow. Thoroughly deserves it. He works hard.
Thank you, man. But yeah, man, we're joining. We're going to be talking through the Pakistan South Africa series. It's been hard to keep up with it. There's been a lot of cricket going on, man. Bangladesh, West Indies, England, India, and now Pakistan South Africa. And obviously, I've kept up with the Pakistan South Africa one. I'm just quickly sending out links to the people who wanted to join. But yeah, man, it's been a crazy, crazy T20 innings. A lot of players dropped out. A lot of players from South Africa, you could say, is it still a transitional side, but they were still very, very competitive. There were a couple of standout players. But before we get into the whole series talk, essentially, I want to give a quick shout out to the people, JTHL Designs. These guys are doing cricket. What do you call them? Memorabilia. Clocks, all that kind of stuff on Etsy. So if you guys want to check them out, there's pens, clocks, cards, all that kind of stuff. So go check them out. If I can edit the description after, I'll put their ads below. But yeah, go check that out. It's a lot of cricket kind of merch and that kind of stuff for you guys to enjoy. But yeah, let's talk through the game, man. Did you manage to keep up with any of the, well, all of the games live, actually?
Yeah, watch them all. I was privileged enough to do that, and it was a fantastic series. I must admit, absolutely brilliant cricket from both sides, to be honest, throughout the series. And the tour. Let's not forget the test as well. I mean, a brilliant tour, and fantastic, of course, to see cricket in Pakistan, just without fans, unfortunately, but even just having it on home soil. Good tour, fantastic test series, followed up and supplemented by an exciting T20 series. All in all, very, very good. I must admit, I think the PCB have done a good job there.
100%, man. It's been, like we said, but in the last episode, 14 years since Pakistan, South Africa have played Pakistan. And then the last time they played it was 2007. But yeah, man, it's been a long while, a long time coming. Let's talk through T20 by T20 and talk through the kind of player performances, all that kind of stuff. So we talk about the first T20. It kind of speaks for itself. I think South Africa batted first. They put up 166, or I think Pakistan actually batted first. Put 169 up. Yeah, that's it. Sorry. And Mohammad Rizwan opening. If we talk about team selections, before I start bragging about Rizwan, team selections. Right, we're talking about Mohammad Rizwan. This is the lineup: Mohammad Rizwan, Babar Azam, Haider Ali, Hussain Talat, which I'm very glad to be getting. He's getting playing time, even though it didn't work out too well for him. Iftikhar Ahmed, Hushdul Shah, Fahim Ashraf, Muhammad Nawaz, Usman Qadir, Shaheen Afridi and Haris Rauf. Now, there's a lot of names in there, but at the very same time, it's, you know, a lot of names left out. You know, we went into the series with Mohammad Hafeez out because of T10 commitments. We went out with Shadab Khan, who I think had commitments. I think Shadab Khan was actually injured, Imad Nasim was out, and so was Fahri Zaman, who was actually left out because of form. And then other players around that, such as Wahab Riaz, who was left out for bad form, Nasim Shah, similar sort of thing. But, so that's what, five names? I think South Africa were missing Quinton de Kock, Faf du Plessis, Themba Bavuma. So a lot of names from them as well. So in that sense, it kind of evened up a little bit. They were playing in Lahore. Dewy conditions, as this always mostly has been. They played there across the whole series. Let's talk through the game as a whole, though. Rizwan and Babar Azam. I think Babar got... Yeah, I remember Babar's run out because he got out to a very good piece of fielding by Fortuin or Fortuin.
Yeah, Bjorn Fortuin. Brilliant piece of fielding, wasn't it? Quick pickup, nice release. Easy 100%. As you like.
A couple games into his career, he had a great run out to start with. He actually bowled. He didn't bowl too bad. If I look at his numbers now...
Well, today, of course, as well, Bjorn. Very, very economical, wasn't he?
100%. He just bowls sharp, straight into the stumps. But yeah, he got the run out. So Babar Azam got out first ball, essentially. He didn't really get to face many balls. And that was kind of the start of all the slander from the Indian fans. Some of the Indian fans, TikTok has gone mad because of some of the stuff I said. I put up a stat, actually. I put up a stat. It said the last 32 innings or something like that, Yasir Shah has 100 and Virat Kohli has none. And they kind of put them next to each other. Our India fans were nuts. I got all sorts of stuff like, we won this trophy and you won that. But yeah, that was hilarious just to have a little bit of fun. But yeah, Mohammad Rizwan's actually 100. Talk me through how do you think that went around? Because that was some very, very good cricket from him. 6 fours, 7 sixes. You look at the guy and you think, you know, maybe 2 years back, you wouldn't even thought that he'd have someone with that kind of strike rate, that kind of batting ability to, you know, he wouldn't be seen as someone who can knock it out of the park as well as he did, because his timing and his power was actually shown a lot more in this series than ever.
Absolutely, mate. And just before I talk about that particular innings, I just wanted to wax lyrical about Mohammad Rizwan yet again. He's just been brilliant, hasn't he? In this series, leading run scorer, 197 runs, an average of 98.5, of course, with that 104 not out. And he has just been the absolute talisman of this T20 side for Pakistan. And also in terms of his just career stats, I suppose. Before 2020, he was averaging in the low 20s. His strike rate was below 100. And now, since the 1st of January 2020, he's averaging 66 with a strike rate of 138.07. We have just seen an absolute renaissance of Mohammad Rizwan's game, and it is wonderful to see. It is so good to see potential actually turning into talent and consistency in performances on the cricket field. And let's not forget his wicketkeeping. I know that you've asked me to talk about the century, but that run out as well was absolutely phenomenal. Full stretch. Got Reza Hendricks out by quite a distance in the end. It looked a lot closer when it was live, but yeah, it's actually not close at all. And he's just been fantastic. He really has. Also very vocal, very supportive with his fast bowlers as well. I like that about Rizwan. He's a natural born leader on that cricket field, a fantastic vice captain or leader, I suppose, on the field with Babar Azam. But in terms of the century itself, it was an absolute masterclass, wasn't it? It really was a masterclass. You mentioned there 6 fours, 7 sixes. And those sixes were not just creeping over the fence. He was absolutely clobbering it. Rows back. If there were crowds in, they'd have to wear helmets. Simple as that. There was a danger if there were crowds in for that. He was absolutely hammering it to all parts of the Gaddafi Stadium. And it was a fantastic innings. It was a game-changing innings because the rest of the Pakistani batsmen, to be honest, struggled at times. They're struggling with the spin. They're struggling with a bit of the slowness of the surface. And something that Mohammad Rizwan did so well was rotate the strike. And another real key aspect of him, he was making opportunities for himself by manipulating the field. So remember there was one where he produced an absolutely booming drive, lofted drive, went for six. South Africa put the man up. Henrik Claassen said, you know, we're going to put a man on the boundary. That freed up a man at around the 45 third man. Next shot, boundary. Simple as that. It was just simple, beautifully worked, crafted superbly. It was a wonderful innings from Mohammad Rizwan. It really was. And of course, set the tone for Pakistan to go on and win that first test match, that first T20 match.
100%, man. I did a live sort of text commentary blog sort of thing on Twitter, and I was while I was watching the game, I was just tweeting my thoughts on how the game was going, and I was looking at the players, and from the whole team, the best player who looked like he was just manipulating the field, like you said, manipulating the field, rotating strike, just working the ball around, and just like making the batsmen, making the bowlers feel like, you know, they didn't have it all in control. Because you looked at players like Fortwine and Shamsi, and they were bowling very, very well. We'll put it that way. Smuts had a few overs as well. And at one point, Tabrez Shamsi, to be honest, across the whole series, made it look like he was in control of his bowling. His economy was nothing.
5.08 over the series, exactly. 6 wickets, average of 10.46. Extraordinary numbers.
Exactly. And Rizwan was just, you know, he was inclined to sweep the ball to get your 4 runs there. He would then move across. He would sweep balls outside off stump to move around fielders and get those runs. And he deserved every single one of those. And you looked at other players, and I pointed out players like Iftikhar Ahmed. His reluctancy to sweep, his reluctancy to use his wrist against someone like Tabrez Shamsi, I said was going to be the downfall of that innings. And, you know, 5 runs later, he went 15 off 15. And Pakistan weren't in a great position. We've got a comment. Rayan Rashid, I think that's Rayan from TikTok. So shout out to you, man. This guy's always supporting. But yeah, Mohammad Rizwan, he deserved that 100. It was just a crazy, crazy good innings. He was rotating strike, and as soon as the players went a hint full or a hint back, he just timed it right at the park. And, you know, he looked like he was doing everything right. He didn't get a single thing wrong. Haider Ali was the next player there. 21 of 16. I can't remember if I'm being honest, his innings massively.
He absolutely smoked a six, though. I do remember that from Haider Ali. That was absolutely gargantuan. I was doing a live stream, and I pretty much stopped for about a good 3 seconds. People thought, what on earth's going on with you, Aaron? And I was just in absolute awe. It was a beautiful six, so clean from Haider Ali. And that's what we want to see from him. Of course, such a fantastic young talent, plenty of potential. Maybe didn't have the series that he wanted, but you just see a six like that. And this guy knows how to strike a cricket ball, not just across the boundary, but outside of the ground itself. So, yeah, all I will say, it wasn't the innings. Mohammad Rizwan's century was the innings. But in terms of a shot, I still remember that absolutely gargantuan six that he produced.
Yeah, 100%. I've seen him in the PSL under-19 cricket. He loves to just smack the ball out of the park. He doesn't look like someone who looks aesthetically pleasing with those cover drives and that sort of thing. He would just look to play shots and just make him turn him into sixes. But I think looking especially at his innings across the series, we saw in this T20, today's one anyway, the third, he opened the batting and Barbara came in three. And you could see that he felt like a little bit of pressure was off him. You know, Mohammad Rizwan was constantly rotating the strike, getting those boundaries, because he had quite a quick start despite having to chase 169. And Haider Ali was about 2 off 5 and then 5 off 11. And he was taking his time. But the good thing was that that was a good thing to happen, because it meant that Mohammad Rizwan could take the pressure off Haider Ali. Haider Ali could take 5, 6, 7, 8 balls to get in. And as soon as he did, he could start striking. And we saw that eventually when I think he hit a 6 and a 4 consecutively, compared to the first two games where he looked a little bit like he was under pressure. You know, strike rate was dropping a little bit and he felt inclined to do something drastic and end up getting, you know, a couple of short innings. Haider Ali didn't have an amazing series, but you could see him opening up in the final one, which you could see. Hussain Talat, 15 off 11. What we'll do is we'll talk through, instead of going through game by game, we'll talk through the players individually across the series, and then we'll go into talking points. Who was the next one? Hussain Talat. He didn't play in the T20s in New Zealand. I think he played the third one, but didn't really get any opportunity. But he was in the squad for both series. I was happy to see it because, in my eyes, Hussain Talat hasn't been managed crazily well. I think he, right as soon as Misbah Haq became head coach and selector, Hussain Talat literally disappeared. And we saw him a couple of months, quite a while back after. So I think it was good to see Hussain Talat back in the green top. That being said, he didn't have a great series either. I think it was the first test that he got stumped. I'm not actually
Yeah. It was by Tabrez Shamsi. Good glove work from Henrik Larsson, but
it was not out. Everyone knew it was not out. It was crazy. I thought the umpire lost his mind, but it was not out. And that innings particularly, he looked like he was getting a move along. He was rotating the strike nicely. He was playing very nicely, but it was a shame to get him. That he lost his wicket so cheaply. I'm actually, you know, someone like Hussain Talat, I'm a little bit worried because this innings, you know, I feel like the fact that this series hasn't gone too well for him, it's going to affect whether he plays in the next series. You know, Mohammed Hafeez will be back, Shadal Khan will be back, Imad will be back, Zaman will be back if he's in form. And, you know, Hussain Talat, Hushdul Shah, potentially Iftikhar Ahmed were all kind of covers, and if they performed well, maybe they get another shot. But I think Hussain Talat, there's a chance that we might not see him again. Let's go straight to the comments again. Rizwan, I think he was fabulous and nothing more. Barbara was disappointing in the series, but he's an amazing player. But just saying off this series, Hussain Talat, Iftikhar, they were just going a runner ball and getting out cheaply. Hushdul was a waste and wasted balls, and Haider was hitting hard but just making silly shots. Yeah, you're not wrong. Barber was disappointing, but like I said before, he's coming back from an injury. You said that as well. He's coming back from an injury. Give him time. He did get a 40 today.
And it looked lovely as well. Some of the shots he was producing, so crisp and elegant and majestic. It was Babar Azam again. You just see these touches of brilliance. And even though he didn't have the series that he would have wanted, even though we're saying that, he was still Pakistan's second leading run scorer in this particular series, just a testament to the sheer ability of the man. But yeah, you just see those little touches of refinement and splendor. And oh my goodness, the guy can bat. He is an absolute joy to watch, even from a neutral perspective. Love watching Babar bat.
Yeah, when he got, actually in this particular T20, the third one, when he came into bat, I think it was Tabrez Shamsi who bowled out Haider Ali, and it was through the gate. Yeah, through the gate.
Turn.
Yeah, I saw it as well, yeah. I think it was a wrong end from the right side of the wicket, bowled him out. And watching that wicket, I was actually scared because I saw the way he got out, Haider Ali got out, and I was getting flashbacks from the World Cup 2019, I think it was Asia Cup as well, when Babar Azam got out the exact same way to the likes of Kuldeep Yadav quite a few times, actually.
Correct,
yeah. And that's happened a few times. And all I was thinking was, oh no, Babar Azam's on next. What if this happens again? Although this series actually pointed out, you could tell he's not as strong against spin as people like to think. I think when a bowler is really hitting their lines and lengths really well, he doesn't necessarily strike that well, but you can see as soon as he Tabrez went a hint fuller, he hit him back down the park. If they go wide, he's happy to do play the cut shot. If they go short, he's happy to pull. So in that sense, yes. But when the bowler's really getting the line and length consistent, you can see he was struggling a little bit. So I was just happy that he got that. Eventually, Tabrez had to be rested for the final last few overs, and then the seamers came on and he could take charge. Like you said, he was just looking really good, timing the ball much better. Same with Asif Ali until he went short. But we'll talk about Asif Ali after. That was Babar Azam, Hussain Dhaulat again, Iftikhar Ahmed. I want to know your thoughts on him. I personally think he's a little bit, whilst he has helped us out of a few tough situations for Pakistan when we're chasing, for example, I think it was Australia, the T20, maybe 2019 winter. He helped us out in a couple of tough situations in the T20. But I think, what do you make of him as a player?
It's an interesting one with Iftikhar, because another aspect of his game, I know we didn't really see it in this series, but he can bowl as well. Let's not forget that. He does offer you a handy spin option with his off spin. For me, I don't really know what to make of his position in the team, though, because when you've got all of these young guys coming through, I mean, Kushdil isn't very experienced on the international stage, so I can be a bit more lenient with him. Of course, Haider Ali as well. It's an interesting one, and it depends what Pakistan want, because as you said, he does have the ability 100% to salvage a game. He showed it there. He showed it at times as well in the England series, in particular in that second game, or was it the first game, the one that got rained off. But in terms of him being a long-term solution for Pakistan, I'm not 100% convinced. I'm going to be honest. I have a lot of respect for Iftikhar in terms of what he does and his ability to salvage a game situation. But with a lot of young talent coming through, I mean, we haven't even seen even the peak of that really in this series so far. I don't know. I feel like he could just be a short-term solution for the time being.
Let me ask you a question. You said he's not a long-term solution. Ignore what he looks like. Apparently he's 30. I'll ask you a question. Do you think he's 30 years old?
That's not for me to answer. It's well, not that. But even then, you've got guys in their early 20s. And although Iftikhar, I know 30 is nothing, he's at the prime of his powers, per se. But again, you've got to do it consistently. And if he's just doing it time and again, it's not going to get you consistent spots in the Pakistan team, in my
100%,
opinion.
100%. But what just cracks me up every time I see him play is like, bro, it says you're 30 on paper. I'm like, bro, you're not 30. You look so much older. I can't talk, to be honest, but yeah, he looks so much older than 30. Let's go to the next players. We'll talk on South Africa. You know, I don't tend to talk about South Africa too often, especially when you've got some of the newer players like the left arm spinner and Infortwine and, you know, Junior Dalla and Zipamla. I don't actually know a massive amount of them. That's why I don't tend to talk about them, just in case I like to, and in case I get my stuff mixed up and, you know, causing arguments and all that kind of stuff. So I tend to stay off that side. But watching this series, there are a couple of very much standout players. We're going to talk about South Africa once we talk through Pakistan players and talk through kind of those players. Hushdil Shah is, you know, he was in Multan Sultans. I think that's probably the key to one of the main reasons he's in the Pakistan T20 team in the first place. We talked about how he came into the side, 40 on debut, 40 not out on debut against Zimbabwe, batting in the middle order. We saw him in New Zealand, wasn't particularly performing very well, to be honest. His strike rate was sub-100. In this series as well, we could see him, he was struggling. I think the second T20, he really kicked on right at the end of the innings, the Pakistan's innings as a whole. But yeah, Hushdil Shah, what do you make of him? Because it's a weird one. Again, we're looking at covers, Hushdul Shah would probably, if Hushdul Shah's not there and we had a general team, he'd probably be batting somewhere around where Shadab and Imad bats, because he bats particularly low for someone who doesn't actually end up bowling as well. So it's a bit of a weird one. What do you make of him?
Well, as you said, it depends where Pakistan's seeming in terms of a strongest 11. In terms of this series, for me, he did have a disappointing series. I can't lie. I do like Hushdul Shah, though. He is a fantastic batsman to watch. You mentioned there for Multan in the PSL. We talk about power and clean striking of the ball. Yeah, he ticks the boxes in that department. He knows how to strike a cricket ball into the heavens. So in terms of, again, would he make a strongest 11 for Pakistan? It depends. It depends on the conditions. If they're looking for that little bit of extra batting depth, a little bit of impetus and momentum, because as you said, he can finish off an innings with a flurry of boundaries or sixes, then he could be an option. But as you said, with the World Cup coming up, maybe you want someone who's going to stabilise an innings instead. I don't know. I suppose that's up for Pakistan themselves to actually decide. But for me, I do like him. I do like Hushdul Shah. Definitely someone to watch out for on the international stage.
100%. I think he does have a place in the Pakistan team in the future. Mm. It's just right now, I think, when with our main squad, when there's no injuries, no players really out with commitments and that sort of stuff, he doesn't really make the side, to be honest. I think he's just a little bit too inconsistent. I think I was listening to a chat, I think it was Tasneem Samar Khan from New Zealand, mm-hmm. and she was having a really good conversation. I can't remember where it was. I think Atif Nawaz was part of it as well. But she made a very, very sick point. Again, I can't remember where it was. It might have been on her own show. But she said that a lot of the players who are coming through and aren't performing and then just being sent back to domestic cricket, she said something about developing Pakistan A cricket.
Yes.
And I think she made a very good point, because if you look at A cricket, a lot of the time the guys probably don't end up playing at all, or they're just there because they're not playing in the current side and they're just getting a little bit of playing time. What do you make of Pakistan's A squad at that point she made? Again, I can't remember exactly what it was, but it's something about Pakistan need to develop their A structure, the Pakistan A side, the way England have England Lions, or India A side and that sort of stuff. What do you make of that all?
Well, I'm glad you actually asked that, because I know exactly what you're talking about. I saw that on Twitter. So I think it was a lack of development per se of the Shaheens, or the Pakistan A team. Yeah. As they're also known. So for me, definitely, that is an area that Pakistan need to look at. It's something which they need to exploit. Because you mentioned rightfully there, with regards to the England Lions, look at the England Test team right now. Okay, I know we're getting absolutely trounced by India in this particular Test match, but this is a team that's gone 6 overseas matches before this game unbeaten. And you look at the likes of Azak Crawley, who came in, for example, Dom Sibley, who came in, Ollie Stone, Dan Lawrence. All of these guys have played county cricket, but then they've also gone on ECB-led developmental tours to Sri Lanka, India, Australia. That's where Dom Sibley really came to prominence, actually. Sam Haynes, another one, who's a fantastic white ball player. And then, of course, with India A, a fantastic example of the usefulness of that entire system was shown at the Gabba with that mismatched team. You had so many new debutants coming in, young players, but they weren't just thrown into the proverbial lion's den. They'd played A cricket. They'd been on a tour to Australia beforehand. They knew at least a little bit of the conditions. So for me, definitely, if the PCB can allocate a bit of their budget to really invest in the Shaheens. See, they had that tour of New Zealand, didn't they? Rahel Nazir played absolutely brilliantly. I think he really made a name for himself on that development tour. But if the PCB can actually do that, get these guys going to play in England, the West Indies, South Africa, Bangladesh, wherever, it is going to be absolutely vital. And it means that Pakistan have that talent pool to really draw from, not just in terms of the domestic talent, but you've got guys who have played not only domestic cricket, but one level above that. It's the stepping stone, per se, into international cricket. So for me, with regards to Taz's point, completely agree. If Pakistan have the money, do it. It is a fantastic system. It's one which England, India, Australia, of course, as well, have utilised well into their advantage. So for me, that is 100% an area which Pakistan could focus on heading into the future.
100%. You know, Pakistan's mode of sort of the A-side equivalent, if you're talking at a format such as T20 cricket, PSL just becomes a bigger and bigger contributor. If we look at sides that players that have come through the PSL, especially more so than domestic cricket, you could look at Shaheen Afridi from under-19 and then performing for Lahore, Fahim Ashraf, Shadab Khan, and you know, those three players alone are core players in the Pakistan side now. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I think you made a very good point. If they could work on something that provides players that to get developed outside of T20 cricket and Test cricket, ODI cricket, when the main squad is currently playing, that'd probably help a lot with our, you know, getting consistent performances, the players not being thrown in the deep end when they're being sent over to playing conditions or areas that we, you know, most of the time end up losing in, which is like Australia, New Zealand, South Africa, those kind of places. Let's go straight to the comments again. Let's go. You see, if we can get a solid middle order, we can be deadly at batting. You know, I had this conversation on TikTok because one of the TikToks went a bit nuts and I've got a load of comments from a load of fans. Well, Pakistan fans, not my fans. And they were saying that to get rid of all of these sort of players. I'm like, you know, it's this series, as much as it's important, they're not going to say that it's not important. Some of these players are coming out of injury. Some of these players, a lot of them are out, the main team. And I'm hearing stuff like bringing all these sort of players and get rid of all these sort of players. I'm like, come on, it's a Pakistan South Africa series. We're missing a lot of players. It's really, the series is not be all end all. If you're looking at that point, you know, we've got a sort of semi-transitional team. We've got a couple of new guys in there. We've got Hassan Ali, who's back from injury. You've got Harris Ralph, who's still working his way in. And South Africa, who is in a similar situation, to be honest. The really only experienced-ish players are Smuts, Klaassen, Reeza Hendricks, and Pele Kweyo. So, you know, they're in a similar boat. So I think the middle order is not, it's not as bad as I think people make it out to be, honest. I think when we've got Mohammed Hafeez at number four, number five is still a bit of an iffy situation, mm-hmm. to be honest, for T20 cricket. You know, there's a mix of players you could point at. Iftikhar Ahmed, Asif Ali, Hushdul Shah, or you could go the way Shadab Khan has been performing in the PSL and maybe go Shadab Khan number five and extend the all-rounder depth a little bit. So there's a lot of ways Pakistan goes. I don't think it's as bad as people make it out. I think the series just made people overhyped about it a bit. The next one is, I like Iftikhar. He played really well in Australia. He loves pace on the bat. I just think they need more games. 100%. 100%. You saw when Iftikhar got pace, Iftikhar was facing pace bowling, so he looked a little bit more comfortable. I mentioned before, when he was playing spin bowling, his reluctancy to sweep, his reluctancy to use his wrists against the ball was going to be the downfall of the innings. And we saw we went for 100 strike rate when we needed to develop a good innings. What did you make of, actually, I've already kind of answered that. The next one was, why was Asif Ali playing brainless cricket? He got out on the last ball of Shamsi's over, could have taken a single and won the game for his team. You're right. You make a good point to an extent, Tariq. But yeah, I'll give you credit. You made a good point. The way Pakistan was going, I don't think Asif Ali needed to play that shot. To be honest, it was sort of just over a runnable at that point. But what did you make of Asif Ali's innings?
It was a bit of a strange one, wasn't it? Because yeah. As you said, yeah, just rotate the strike, take your team across the line and win the series, basically. Sounds very easy when you put it like that, I suppose, from a fan's perspective. But with regards to Asif, I mentioned this with David Miller, actually, with South Africa. They're these kind of guys who get into form by striking the ball, getting fours and sixes. And Asif isn't going to change his game, unfortunately. You can try and change him as much as you like. I know from experience with my county of Warwickshire, we tried to do it with Colin de Grandhomme. It never worked. Okay, we'd need two and he'd go and hit one and get out, and then we'd still need two from the final ball. But that's just what these kind of players are. And if Asif Ali is going to be that number five, and I did just want to make a point about that, I'll make it in a second, but you have to take that part of his game with you. You have to realise that there's going to be games where, yes, there may be a single on strike. Yes, there may be an opportunity for him to manipulate the field, but he's just going to go for the power hit, and he's going to get out. And you just have to accept that. You have to accept that is part and parcel of Asif Ali's game. That is why he is in and around the Pakistan squad in the first place. But with regards to this series, the one thing that I would say, not a negative, but something which Pakistan didn't answer in terms of a question in this series, was that number five spot. I really wanted someone like Kushdil, for example, for Iftikhar Ahmed, one of the Asif as well, of course. I wanted one of these guys to really take initiative, take control, and stamp their authority in that middle order. Go to Misbah and go, I'm your man. I'm your number five. Take me to India for the World Cup. And unfortunately, the series didn't pan out like that. We've still very much got that question. There's question marks surrounding that number five spot. Because other than that, your top order is set. You've got an absolutely stacked top four. It's a fantastic top four if you're a Pakistan fan. But that number five spot is absolutely vital. And in addition to that, you've got three relatively different characters all vying for that one spot. You've got Iftikhar, who, as you said, is a fantastic player of pace, can anchor an innings and stabilise it and salvage an innings towards the last stage of the 20 overs, offers you some spin, of course. And then you've got two real destructive power hitters in Kushal Shah and Asif Ali. So I feel like for the time being, we still don't know which one of those guys are going to get that number five spot. Of course, you've still got another tour to South Africa in order, and the T20s in Lahore against England before the World Cup to find the answer to that. But that's the only thing that I would say, maybe question mark hovering over this series for Pakistan.
100%. The number five, it's a weird one. But like you said, April, Pakistan just announced they're going to go to South Africa to play, I think, something like four T20s and three ODIs or something like that. And we've got the PSL coming up, so maybe there'll be some nice performers at number five. You know, we've got some new guys coming through. But yeah, man, that's hopefully, Tariq, that answered your question. The next one was, we just need to give these players time. We can criticize after they get a long run. Yeah, I think people are being a little bit hasty after people like Hossein Thalib is coming back, first time in a while, and he's getting about a few innings. I think give them a fair chance. I'm seeing people even making fun of Shaheen, weirdly. I'm like, well, yeah, you guys clearly aren't watching the cricket. Shaheen's a great player. Just they have off performances. I think Pakistan fans, I can't speak for other nations, but as a Pakistan fan, there's definitely people who get a little bit hasty for no reason. I want most of the new players to debut against top teams, because this is the thing. They debut against middle-class teams and people get overhyped. They should debut against the likes of Australia, New Zealand, England. That's crazy. I don't know. I don't necessarily think that's the right thing. I think, like we mentioned before, I think that it's more to do with the A side than anything, than throwing them in the deep end.
And look at the Zimbabwe series.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was a very tight affair.
Yeah. Zimbabwe is a side that Pakistan generally used to bring in a lot of debut players. You could say potentially when we were playing in Sharjah and Dubai a couple of years back, we were doing the same thing when, you know, even when Australia was coming along, they weren't playing in great form and we could debut a few players then. But I think it's more to do with the A side than anything, in my opinion. Can we talk about Pakistan's ODI team? I love the one-day format. My one-day team versus... Honestly, Habib, this is going to be talking through the T20 series. When Pakistan do play South Africa in the ODI series, then 100% we're going to be talking about it. That's the only thing we're going to talk about. But yeah, man, make sure you join in then. We'll talk about it there. In my opinion, we can't blame the number five batters. They were put into bat too early and couldn't comfortably play their natural game. Yes, to an extent, but when you're in pro cricket, it's sort of like, you know, you've got to be aware of the situation that you're going to end up, sometimes it's going to be a collapse. And with Pakistan, there ends up being a collapse more often than other sides. So it's going to happen. I think whether, you know, I think, again, it's sort of like, you just don't be too hasty with your opinions on some of these guys. You know, Asif Ali is not a bad player. Hushal Shah is not a bad player. They've had bad innings, but they're not bad players. Some of the best players have had poor starts to their career. You know, Darwin Milan, for example, when he was thrown into the test side alongside, I think it was Wesley, Stoneman.
Mason Crane. Yeah, loads. Well, Toby Rowland-Jones as well.
Yeah, they all kind of came in at once. And, you know, Milan didn't score 100 in his first innings. But look at him now. He's the best T20 player in the world, which is a weird transition, but it is what it is, you know. So just give them time. They'll come through. Let's go on to the next players, which is this. Let me get the scorecard up. Fahim Ashraf is next up for interrogation. Fahim Ashraf, another good innings, man. Another good series. I think the third T20, he kind of slipped up a little bit towards the end of his spell with the ball. That being said, his batting, he contributed where he can. He had a couple of nice sixes, second T20 and third T20. But yeah, he had another good series, man. What do you make of him?
Well, I think you know my thoughts on Fahim, Mo. I like him. I like Fahim Ashraf. I think he's a very versatile all-rounder. In terms of this series, with the bats, I agree, at times look very good. I was a little bit disappointed with his dismissal tonight. I'm going to be honest. He was hitting against the spin. Didn't really need to do it. Could have just rotated the strike, dabbed it down to third man, for example. But in terms of his bowling, this is one thing I will say. He was quite expensive in this series. I think he had an economy rate of around about 11 and a half. So that's something to watch out for. But again, in his defence, no surprises, I'm coming to Fahim Ashraf's defence. It wasn't very seam conducive, was it? You saw Shaheen going for runs. You saw Harris Ralph going for runs. Dipamla, Stearman, for South Africa, every one of those same bowlers were getting hit because of how spin conducive it was. So that's all I'll say with regards to Fahim. But in terms with the bats, again, showed his capabilities, showed that he can be the finisher. And I've mentioned this before on here on the podcast. I like the guy. I definitely think we're going to be seeing a lot more of him, not just in T20s, but across formats as well for Pakistan, hopefully for many, many more years to come.
100%. Yeah, he didn't have a great bowling performance, but like you said, we're in Lahore, dewy conditions. Seamers who went pace on weren't successful. We'll talk about some of the other ones later on, but the likes of, you know, Haris Rauf attempted it, got hit around three sixes in a row. Who else tried it? I think Shaheen tried it a little bit, lost his lengths a little bit.
And did hit around for South Africa, went about 14 and over as well.
Yes, I remember that over. And yeah, I think the players who, the seam bowlers particularly, who were most successful naturally, I was looking at players like Pehla Kweyo, who was going to perform well in that series because of he loves to use his variations, his slower balls, his cutters, all that kind of stuff. I already knew going into the series that that kind of bowler was going to be successful. I wasn't too sure on Dalla and Sipamla, but they kind of followed suit in the first T20. And yeah, Pehla Kweyo was superb all around. I think pace off definitely was the way, even with seam bowlers. Seam bowlers wasn't necessarily a bad way to go. You can still use a seam as long as they were making use of the variations. You know, Haris Rauf, I would have expected him to use his slower ball. I've seen it in the Big Bash before. I think two seasons ago, he used a slower ball a couple of times. He got wickets like that. Even though there were a lot hotter conditions, I would have hoped that he used those variations. But yeah, man, I think pace off was the way to go. And anyone who went pace on in those conditions were just going to get hit around. And we really did see that. The next player from Pakistan's side, Mohammad Nawaz, he has been outstanding, man. Comment back. I'll be very honest. If you see my preview episode, I can't remember. This might be the last episode that we did going into the series. I said that Zafar Gourhood was better being in the T20 side over Mohammad Nawaz just because of current form. And I'll be the first to admit, I'll very much admit that I was wrong. Mohammad Nawaz was an outstanding man. I really did forget how good the guy really is. Left arm spin. He was sort of brought in as a cover for Imad Deseem in a sense. And he really played that role well, man. With the ball, two sharp wickets in this T20, the third one anyway. But he was very economical all around. Third T20 brought, in today's one anyway, he brought Pakistan to that win, took him over the line. What do you make of him as a player, man?
Oh, he's great. I like Mohammad Nawaz. He's a born entertainer. He's someone who can finish off an innings with the bat. And then, as you said, a very shrewd and economical style of bowler. He went at 6.1 and over in this particular series, which is fantastic, of course, for a left-arm off-spinner. So for me, definitely someone who I want to see more in the Pakistan shirt. He is very, very versatile, as I mentioned. The only thing that I would say, that is going to be difficult, because if there's one thing that Pakistan have in absolute abundance, it's spinning around us. Imad Wadeem is an absolute gun. Shadab Khan, again, a fantastic young player coming through the ranks. But with that being said, when he gets an opportunity, let's say one of those guys is being rested, rotated, or unfortunately get injured, bring Nawaz in. I want to see more of him on international cricket. I love watching him play.
100%. I think Dean Ahmed, I think, who represents Nawaz, was mentioning him on Twitter. And I said, you know, I think it's going to be a good competition. I was happy to see him, first of all, perform, get played and perform essentially, and perform very well. I think, you know, I think if the T20 World Cup does happen anytime soon, it's going to be sick to see that the fact that, you know, if Imad Deseem isn't there, we've got a very, very viable cover for him. It's not going to be Imad Deseem and just throw in a debutant or throw in someone experienced or not the same. Mohammad Nawaz is pretty much a like-for-like replacement. You could say that Imad Deseem's a slightly better batsman, but in terms of bowling and just generally being there as a batsman, Nawaz is a fantastic cover. And going into the World Cup, I'm very happy about that. And then you look at leg-spinning options, the whole competition between I like the fact that there's now competition between player spots. It just makes the players so much more competitive.
Correct.
For the spots. You got Imad Deseem to Mohammad Nawaz, Shadab Khan to Usman Qadir, and now Zahid Mahmood, who had a dream debut. We're gonna speak on that just shortly after. But and then seamers, Haris Rauf, you could say seamers is a little bit off, but you know, Wahab Riaz, Shaheen Afridi, Hassan Ali, Fahim Ashraf, that's a pretty good seam class to me. But yeah, man, I think Mohammad Nawaz has been class. We're probably going to see him in the next series as well. If there's a whitewash or however it works out, we might see him appear for another game or two. The next player is Usman Kadir, leg spinner, son of the legend Abdul Kadir, probably one of the best leg spinners to ever play for Pakistan. Yeah, he had another crazy. I think the first, I can't remember the stats off the top of my head, but the first T20, he went for barely nothing, took a couple wickets. The second one was a little bit expensive. The third one was, I think, a little bit better. But, you know, he literally bowled like a classic leg spinner, even though he didn't offer that much pace. He bowled one of those in a class, just being a classic leg spinner, just a load of drift, flight, and then sharp turn. Literally every single ball, every ball turned so sharp, even in dewy areas on the pitch. So, yeah, well, what do you think of Usman Kadir? And then talk to me about how you, the whole matchup between him and Shadab Khan, because even though Shadab Khan can bat, it's an interesting topic. We'll talk about Zahid Mahmood right after the.
It is, yeah, we'll get to that in due course. But first of all, with regards to Usman, had a fantastic series. Loved watching him bowl. I thought he was absolutely outstanding. You've already said it, Mo. You also have to factor in that first game, the dew on the ball. That makes it really hard to grip. For those who have played with a wet ball in cricket, and trust me, when you're in England, you're going to at some point because of all the rain that we have here. But it is very, very hard to grip that as a spinner. And the way in which he set up Jacques Snyman, the number three batsman of South Africa in that first T20, was absolute gold. It was brilliant. That is a typical leg spinner setup and dismissal. It was almost test match worthy. Leg break, sharp googly, castled him. It just doesn't get any better. I mean, I'm not a leg spinner, I'm an off spinner personally, but as an off spinner, we respect it. Spinners Union and all that. It was fantastic to see from Usman Kadir and carrying on the family's name very, very well. With regards to the debate between him and Shadab Khan, it's an interesting one.
It's tough, isn't it?
It is, because Shadab does offer you something, well, not just something, a lot more with bats, but then Usman Kadir is a very wily, crafty and cunning leg spinner. I think for the time being, if it was to come down to those two, and you couldn't put them both in an 11, I'd be tempted to go Shadab, personally. But with that being said, Kadir, in the Zimbabwe series as well, had an absolutely brilliant start to his T20 career, already has double digits. He's only played 6 matches. So, yeah, if I had to choose, I'd go Shadab. But with that being said, the signs look very, very promising for Usman.
100%, man. He actually bowls. I saw clips of his dad bowling, and he bowls so similar to him. I'm sure some of the older players and teams and management were very happy to like, if they've seen Abdul Kadir bowl, they're like, this is very, very sick to see. But yeah, man, Usman Kadir, what a talent. And Pakistan's leg spin class has just improved. You know, you could say that before Usman and Zahid Mahmood, who just came in today, but before he made his debut, it was our leg spin class was really just Shadab and Yasir Shah. And Yasir Shah is sort of restricted to that test position. So Shadab was sort of covering T20 cricket, ODI, and then potentially test cricket at number 6, number 7. So it's good to see that we've got new leg spinners who are genuinely performing from the get-go. Mm-hmm. I think for a leg spinner coming into international cricket, his numbers are absolutely stupid. I think he's going at 6.5 economy. Like you said, already passed 10 wickets comfortably. But yeah, he's doing absolutely amazing. And yeah, man, the whole class has improved. Shaheen Afridi, you know, we've touched on him already. He didn't have an amazing series, but I don't really blame him. I mentioned, you know, second T20, the guy needs to rest, man. England are doing it very, very well. He needs to have a rest at some point. And I'm not just saying this because in 6 days the PSL starts and Lahore is playing and he's in part of my team. I'm genuinely saying this as a Pakistan fan as well. He needs to rest because at some point it's going to bite us in the back. Yes, he is a world-class seamer at 20 years old, and you could potentially give him a higher workload because of how young he is. But like, it's going to lead to an injury at some point. So the workload he's been putting in is crazy this past few weeks. Plus all the COVID stuff. You know, we saw West Indies players drop out, and I respect him for that. You know. So what did you make of that? And do you think he needs to rest as well?
Yes, 100%. Because even though he is a young seamer, you're still a seamer. It's a tremendous amount of force and pressure that's going through your body every single time you bowl. And although, yes, he is still young, 20 years of age, as you rightfully said, Mo, and he does have all of this bundle of energy to utilise at his disposal, you can't be making him play absolutely everything because you're going to run him into the ground at some point. So I completely agree. I wouldn't have minded him resting at one point in this series as well, because it wasn't seem conducive. if you were really desperate, you could have just brought in Mahmood for another game. So for me, yes, I agree. Definitely they need to look at the rest and rotation policy. Potentially that's something we'll see in the South Africa tour after the PSL. But yes, I agree with you 100% there, Mo. Definitely something that Pakistan need to look at utilising, especially in biosecure bubbles and all biosecure cricket.
Yeah. I mentioned, you said the same, you literally said what I said a couple of days back. I think he needs to rest. And if they want another replacement, the first option is obviously Hassan Ali, if he's fit, because I know he was resting the first game and the second game. And if they really need to, like you said, dewy conditions, bringing on potentially a third seamer, spinner. And Zahid Mahmood is there, Zafar Gore is there. But I'd hate to see someone that young with so much talent. His numbers are incredible already. And for the amount of cricket he has under his belt at 20 years old and performing all those times, and it helped his Pakistan so many times, I'd hate to see that all be thrown away for like a couple of months injury or something like that. Mm-hmm. You've got comments. Opinions on the team one day. Like we said, Habib, send me that same team after and we'll go through it in the South Africa series in April. But we're really just focusing on the T20, my guy. I think T20 is more about containing opposition to a small total rather than going for wickets. Yes. Who was it who mentioned that? Who was West Indies leg spinner back in like 2016?
Badri.
That's it. Badri talked about T20 cricket, and what he learned the most was why he was so successful was it was less about him trying to go for wicket balls. It was more so content getting pressure, building up pressure, and that open up wickets because players would make bad shots. So yes, I agree with you there. South Africa were 48 for 6 and still managed to score 165. And Usman Kadir also played domestic cricket in Australia, had aspirations for representing Australia. Let's talk about the first point very, very quickly. Yes, you're very right. Pakistan were in a crazy good position at the start of the third T20. 48, I think it was actually 5, actually. I'm not sure about 6. I think 6 was closer to 100 more than anything. But
they were 65 for 7.
Really?
At one point, yeah.
Okay.
That's when Pretorius went out.
Okay, yes. But yeah, I think Pakistan's had that issues a few times now, actually, where we fail. We start so well. We've had this so many times against Sri Lanka, against Australia, where we start so well with the start of the innings. We could get a top 5 collapse, and then we just get a little bit too comfortable. We've seen that in Test cricket as well. We get a little bit too comfortable, and then, you know, we let them build partnerships. And then we saw that today with Miller, with Fortuin, and then Miller and Sipamla. Well, Miller essentially the whole way through, but yeah, I think Fortune
basically Miller and whoever was at the end.
Fortune, I think, played a good role. I think the first T20 he got 14 odd not out, and he brought South Africa to a close win. And I thought, you know, this T20, I wasn't writing him off at any point. You know, with the saying get Miller out, I'm like, you need to get Fortune out as well, man, because he isn't dumb. He knows what he's doing at 200 degree, even though he's not as good as obviously Miller. But you know, Fortune is also a valuable wicket. Let's not get that wrong. But yeah, I think Pakistan's getting a little bit too comfortable at times. That's something they can definitely work on. Usman Kadir played domestic cricket in Australia, had aspirations for, yes, I've seen that. Yes. He played Pakistan to a degree and then moved to Australia because of, I think, something like limited opportunities, or wasn't getting picked up better opportunities. And then moved to Australia. He was literally playing for the President's 11. And he played a Big Bash a little bit for the Scorchers maybe. And yeah, he was so close to representing Australia. I think he was in the final part of his eligibility. And I mentioned this on a TikTok. If Usman Kadir was playing for Australia, I would be gutted. The guy is so good. He would have been competing with, in my opinion, he would be competing for Zampa straight away if he was performing numbers up like this. And, you know, Zampa's great, don't get me wrong. But, you know, performances like this straight away off debut, once he was eligible, I reckon he would have been thrown into the Australia side straight away, because he was just kept playing for the A side, and it was just a matter of time till he was eligible. What did you make of how much do you know about Kadir playing domestic cricket and then going forwards?
Well, I know with regards to the Australia stint, you've pretty much mentioned it. Also played for Western Australia, the Western Warriors, in their 50 over stuff. Yet it is mental, isn't it, to think that in an alternative universe somewhere, Usman Kadir is in an Australia shirt taking wickets for the men in green and gold. Weird to think like that, isn't it? But no, I think he's made the right decision, because, of course, with his family name, Abdul Kadir, who not just in Pakistan, he's also tremendously honoured and respected in England. He absolutely tore England to shreds in the 70s and 80s with his incredibly graceful leg spin. I think it was definitely the right decision. And as you said, with regards to opportunity, there is that battle for the leg spinner spot. He made the right decision, in my view.
Yeah. Yeah, I think the position would have been dominated for so long by the likes of, well, Kanera was before his time, but Yasser Shah essentially. And yeah, I agree with what you're saying. I think, I'm just happy to see that he's in the he's in a green top rather than a yellow top. Let's put it that way. I'm just happy that that's happened. Haris Rauf, we've got two more players left. Haris Rauf and Zahin Mahmood. Haris Rauf, first of all, left out of the 30-20. A disappointing first two. I didn't want to get too much, like, I didn't want to be too critical of him. I think I saw a stat actually, he was a lot more successful in the middle overs and the death rather than the power play. And I saw that stat in the second T20, and he ended up bowling two overs in the power play. I was so annoyed when I saw that, because then I saw him bowling. I was like, okay, well, Haris Rauf is coming on the power play, and I just seen a stat that he's horrible there. I think his strike rate is immensely higher than in the middle overs and in the death bowling. And you saw that he tried to go short, got thumped because the ball would just hold up in the ground. He tried to go length, he'd get hit around the ground. Then he'd go too full. And you could see that he was just not being able to keep his cool. And he was getting battered in the power play. And then he'd try to go fuller and then drift onto his pads and get hit around. I don't think he adapted to conditions, with dewy conditions, well at all. I didn't really see any signs of variations until the middle overs. What did you make of Haris Rauf?
Well, yeah, Mo, it wasn't his greatest series. But with that being said, in more seam conducive conditions, you have to have a bit of Haris Rauf. He's an X-factor option, yeah, Isn't he? He produces absolute thunderbolts for Pakistan. So for me, yes, he didn't have the greatest series. Yes, I agree with regards to the power play. That isn't just him as well. I seem to recall Kahiso Rabada has a pretty similar stat. He takes a clump of wickets at the death, but he just can't find the right combination at the start. I don't know why that is. For any fast bowlers out there watching or listening to this, please do let me know if there is a particular reason why that happens. But with regards to Haris, again, he is a guy who's inexperienced relatively in this Pakistan team. Yes, he didn't have a great series in this particular one against South Africa, but again, give him some time. He's an absolute weapon, and yeah, fantastic option for Pakistan to utilize heading into the World Cup.
100%. But that kind of covers Haris Rauf. Let's talk about the final guy, Zahin Mahmood.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be honest, I didn't know a huge amount of him. I've heard his name being mentioned around in domestic cricket competition, not so much in the PSL at all. But he came on. I was happy for him. I was like, he's another leg spinner. Let's bring him on. You should try him out. He was literally successful from like ball one. I think ball one. Ball one. He dragged back and got hit for a boundary, and then the second and third one, he got two wickets in a row and went for a hat trick ball. Disaster hat trick ball. But he was very, very sick, and he turned it a mile just like Usman Khedir. What did you make of Zahin Mahmood's bowling, man?
I was very, very impressed. And it's funny you mentioned about the domestic, because I think that's why he was in this team in the first place. He was absolutely fantastic for Southern Punjab. I think he finished with 11 wickets. The only thing that I will say about him, of course, tonight, figures of 3 for 40, is a bit expensive. And that's the exact same thing in the T20 Cup as well. I think he's going about 8.4 and over for Southern Punjab. So that's something that definitely he needs to work on. But again, when you are a relatively inexperienced spinner, although I think he's in his 30s, you know, Zahin Mahmood, but in terms of on the international stage, you're going to search for wickets. It's as simple as that. Everybody's guilty of it at some point. So I think that's forgivable. But with that being said, looking at the way in which he was turning the ball, flighting the ball, it was brilliant. It was fantastic to watch. Those first two overs really put South Africa on the ropes. And for that reason, he took his opportunity and really impressed me out there tonight.
100%. Yeah, you're right. Searching for wickets, and that doesn't bring wickets. It's really just putting a cap on it. But yeah, he was a bit expensive on the backside of his spell, the last two overs especially. But I think a lot of the players were, to be honest. I think Miller kind of got hold of him and Zahi lost his cool a little bit. But that being said, the three wickets he did take were massive. He got Milan out, who has been outstanding this series. He also got out Henrik Claassen first ball. Yes, Henrik Claassen sweeped it, got caught by Usman Khedir on that short fan leg. So yeah, two massive wickets. That definitely put South Africa on the back foot and force that partnership with David Miller to go on the back foot and then kick it on later on. So that kind of covers Pakistan cricket. We'll talk through quickly some of the South African players. I want to ask, who do you think was the best performer in terms of runs for South Africa? You know, we've got the likes of Malan, who performed very, very, very nicely. Reeza Hendricks performed pretty nicely. Miller was outstanding in the third, this today's one. I think those are three were kind of the standout players for me, I think, out of all of the players. Who do you think was your favourite player to watch and why?
Well, in terms of favourite to watch, definitely Miller. Love a bit of Miller time. Was absolutely electric out there at the Gaddafi Stadium tonight. So in terms of favourite to watch, definitely David Miller. Doesn't get any more box office and entertaining than David Miller in full flow. With regards to who I was most impressed, though, in terms of batting, I'd say Reeza Hendricks. Because before this series, you'd look on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, even in YouTube comments, and he was getting absolutely slandered by South Africa fans saying he's not good enough, his strike rate's terrible, he always costs us games. And you know what? He had two really, really good games in this series. And I feel like he's probably put a bit of a silence on the critics for the time being. He rotated the strike well. He also had the ability to go into his game, score boundaries, hit a couple of beautiful sixes as well. So for me, in terms of outstanding performers, definitely Reeza Hendricks. I feel like he's really put his hat into the ring for World Cup selection.
100%. And then we look at the South Africa side as a whole. Like I mentioned at the start of the podcast, they're missing a couple key players. You know, this looks like a transitional side. There's a lot of new guys there. There's a lot of guys who are, you know, I think some of these guys look like they're in their 30s, but they're really a couple games into their career. And I think that's what South Africa do more often with their batsmen. But this was hats off to South Africa, man. They put up a hell of a fight all three games. We look at their bowling. I think Dwayne Pretorius got the best men's T20 figures for South Africa in T20 internationals. I was actually, I said on Twitter by accident that, well, I found out it was by accident after, that he has the best figures for South Africa as a whole. And then I saw some, I think it was Tasneem again, tweeted, or she retweeted somebody saying that it was actually one of the female cricketers that's got better figures than him. So my bad, he's got the best men's figures. But Dwayne Pretorius, we'll say the first game, Pedler Quayle was out, probably the best seam bowler there. And then we go into the second one or the third one, and Dwayne Pretorius, Sepamla, I think, lost it a little bit on the third T20, but they've been outstanding, man. Sepamla, Pretorius, their ability to... They kind of understood what was needed to be successful in the Gaddafi Stadium, which was pace off the ball, constant variations. Yes, you can go pace on, but going pace on was almost a variation in itself in Lahore. Going cutters, off cutters, slow balls. And that was the key to success. And they got Mohammad Rizwan that way in the second T20. And yeah, the seam bowling was absolutely outstanding. I think they were much better than Pakistan in their seam bowling for South Africa. You got Pretorius, Pedler Quayle, and Sepamla, who were consistent in all three games, and then Dalla as well in the first one. So what did you make of South Africa's seam bowling?
It's an interesting one. I feel like, again, it was mixed, but I've said it with Pakistan as well. They weren't the right conditions. I feel like with the seam bowlers, other than Pretorius, I mean, Pedler Quayle had a fantastic first game, but then he'd completely lost it in the penultimate over in tonight's game. So again, it's a bit of a mixed bag for the Proteus seamers. In terms of Dwayne Pretorius, though, again, we talk about people putting their hat in the ring for the World Cup. He's kicking the door down. Simple as that. 5 for 17. What an incredible performance that was. Really lit up the Gaddafi Stadium in the second T20I. And then again tonight, absolute Jaffa to get rid of Babar Azam. Lovely bit of cross seam in there, completely carved through Babar's defences. And again, he's just that kind of player. He's a partnership breaker. Someone who's going to be absolutely invaluable to any side, in particular South Africa, though, who need those wickets in bunches in the middle overs. So for me, if you want a standout seamer for South Africa, definitely Pretorius, 100%. I thought he was absolutely exceptional.
100%. And then we look at this spinners they played against South African fans. I'm sorry if I say this wrong. Fortein. Fortein. Oh, I said it wrong both times. Okay. okay. Fortein. The numbers don't speak for him massively. I think they're a little bit of an understatement, but, you know, he was opening the bowling. I think he definitely opened the bowling the first and third T20. I can't remember exactly about the second. But yeah, I think he played a very good role. Tabrez Shamsi, what a series wizard. For him. Absolute wizard. He played an outstanding. He had an outstanding series. He rarely bowled a bad ball. I think I saw his first bad ball in like the second T20. If I'm being honest, he was just hitting the line of length constantly with a load of flight drift. He was sort of replicating Usman Kadir with just left arm unorthodox spin. He was just doing all the right things. What did you make of, first of all, Fortein? Do you actually think that he has what? Well, do you think in the next series, if he performs or plays in the next T20 and ODI series against Pakistan in April, do you think he's also potentially going to put his hat in the ring as a spinner? Because you've got Shamsi. I don't think Maharaj is ever going to be playing in a T20 side again. So it's really just Shamsi, to be honest. I can't really think of any other mainstream spinners. They had Smuts bowl a couple of overs, but he's really a part-timer, if I'm being honest.
Well, with regards to South Africa, that's an interesting question, because for the World Cup, you've got Tabrez Shamsi. He's booked his ticket with regards to Mark Boucher. I think he's already said that. Imran's here, of course, as well. When he's playing, he's got to play, has years of IPL experience, still one of the best T20 players in the world. So those two have booked their tickets. So that leaves one spinning slot, and that's whether for a spinner, out-and-out spinner, or spinning all-rounder. Looking at South Africa's balance, they need a spinning all-rounder. And for that reason, as much as Fortein had a fantastic series at times, I feel like South Africa in the end will go for George Linder, purely because he offers you a bit more, had a fantastic series against England, really stepped out, put himself on a pedestal, really, for selection for Boucher and co. So for me, will he get a chance in the other series? Potentially. I feel like he could. I feel like he's warranted at least being in the squad. But in terms of that T20 World Cup, South Africa needs some more batting depth. I feel like they'll go with Cape Cobras left arm off spinner George Linder.
Fair enough. And we'll finish up with the questions of, where do you think Pakistan fell short the most? I personally think, you know, I think that the game kind of speaks for itself, but out, you know, we talk about the seam bowling and you could potentially say some of their batting, the inability to rebuild a partnership. You could say South Africa did a similar job in the third T20 when they were chasing when they were putting up that score after the huge caps at the start. But Pakistan did a similar job, you know. Asif Ali, not a great innings from him. Hushdul Shah, low strike rate. Iftikhar Ahmed, low strike rate, inability to just rotate strike, while Mohammad Rizwan was literally doing it on a plate for them. It looked like one of those cases where Babar Azam used to carry Pakistan a little bit, and now Mohammad Rizwan was doing that while Babar was absent for a little bit. So where do you think Pakistan failed most?
Well, I suppose it would be the middle order, because you mentioned the likes of Hussein Talat, Hushdul Shah, Asif Ali, Iftikhar as well. I think between those guys, they scored about 100 runs between them. So that is a little bit worrying, considering that Pakistan did lose quite a few wickets in this series. So for me, I feel like that is the one glaring thing. And I've already mentioned the number five position. I don't need to go into more detail about that. But yeah, I'd say that was the biggest pitfall of this series for Pakistan, but not major. Obviously, it didn't cost them in the end.
Yeah. What about South Africa then? Again, transitional side. You could say their seam bowling was a little bit poor, apart from certain spells from Pellequeyo and Pretorius. But then their batting as well. You know, they're actually first T20, second T20. We saw some really nice opening partnerships from the likes of Milan and Hendricks. And then it was a bit iffy in the middle order with Klaassen and Smuts. Smuts, I think, had a decent first or second T20. Where do you think South Africa needed to improve the most if they played this side again?
Well, I don't think I'd play the exact same side. I'm going to be honest. The thing with South Africa that stood out for me, I felt like it was a bit of a missed opportunity, because you're playing Pakistan in Pakistan. Okay, they've brought young players with them, the likes of Yanaman, who you've already mentioned, Jack Snayman, who got one game in this series, Ryan Rickleton, who didn't get a single game, Nondre Berger didn't get a single game. He could have really utilised his off-cutters and slower balls, as we were mentioning about earlier. So I feel like for South Africa, they just missed the boat. I felt like this series would have been a fantastic opportunity if you are going to give these young guys, not necessarily for this World Cup in India, but even for the future, how invaluable of an experience would it be to go to Lahore, play with a wet ball, with the dew in factor, and just learn from that experience. And instead, they went for the old guard, guys who they're thinking may or may not play for the T20 World Cup. So for me, I don't feel like there's one specific avenue of their game because it was a very close series. That first T20 could have gone South Africa easily, and then we'd be having a completely different conversation. But in terms of the setup of the squad, in terms of the selection of the 11, I feel like that's where South Africa were definitely missing out on where they could have been.
100%. So, people, that was the South Africa T20, Pakistan versus South Africa T20 summary. I hope you guys enjoyed that, man. It's been an exciting T20, man. You know, 6 days, and we've got the PSL starting.
Yes.
And a lot of new names in there. I'm a little Hawke Hollanders fan. I've had my misery. We went so close last season, and hopefully we can get it. I'm very, very happy about the way the team's looking this season. I think I'm not going to say names because, you know, I respect all the guys who played for Hawke Hollanders, but I think there was a couple of players last season. If you look at performances, they'll probably speak for it, but a couple of foreign players last season, I think we wasted, was in picks anyway. Leg spinners and keeper batsmen, but we'll leave it at that. But yeah, the Hawke Hollanders, I think we've got a shot this season. We're not going to dive too deep into it because I do have a preview series coming up. Six episodes across 6 days, starting from tomorrow. I was actually going to release it today, the first one, but I thought 2 episodes is a bit too much to get out. But very, very quickly, who do you support in the PSL?
I don't support anyone. In fact, it's the only one where I don't. And in a way, that kind of makes me enjoy it quite a bit because it means that I don't have that affiliation. It means that I can actually look at these teams objectively. I can look at Shaheen and go, wow, I want to see him bowl well. I want to see Babar Azam score runs. I want to see Ahmad Wazim score and bowl beautifully as he always does, no matter where he's playing. So I don't necessarily quote-unquote support anyone, but I do have a bit of a soft spot for Islamabad, because they had Ian Bell, of course, being a Warwickshire fan. And I do quite like Lahore. I do like the Lahore Qalandars because they are the underdogs per se. Remember, they hadn't made the playoffs before this season, no, and they had a really, really good PSL 5.
I know.
Yeah, but you would from experience as a Lahore fan. Right. So yeah, they're two that I have a bit of a soft spot for. Karachi, of course, as well, with Babar and Imad Wazim. But yeah, I can't wait for PSL 6. Should be absolutely fantastic. In Pakistan, bring it on. Simple as that. Cannot wait.
Listen, I think you've made a good choice not supporting a team because it is stress. It is stress. I can't. You don't imagine how many times I've lost my mind because Lahore Qalandars would have horrible seasons, like 1 through 2 or 4 or 5. We'd just have horrible seasons, and then we'd end up beating one side, or we'd take the teams that we do win, we'll take them to the super over. So that's enough stress in it as well. I think we've probably had the most super overs in the PSL. And then there's the whole Karachi Lahore rivalry, mm-hmm. That I'm sure you're aware of or you heard about. But yeah, it is stress, man. It is stress. But yeah, I'm a Lahore Qalandars fan. People, if you want to see the PSL preview series, it's still gonna be part of the episodes. So this is what episode 21 through till 26 is gonna be the PSL preview series. Every episode is gonna be reviewing each side very, very quickly. If you're wanting to watch on YouTube, there'll be like sort of like visual overlay, so you don't have to stare at my face all the time because no one wants to look at that. But yeah, man, it's going to be 6 episodes across 6 days leading into the first day of the PSL. So a lot of content coming up for you guys. Ismail said, big up Ismail, on Sky Sports this year as well. Yes.
Even better.
I'm very happy. Yep. Well, either way, I would have streamed it some way off my phone. But yeah, man, it's good to see that PCME managed to cut a deal with Sky Sports. Yeah, if you see some of the live streams, you could see the numbers at Pakistan Massive. Cricket T20. Yeah. It's in the 1.something million. I saw of one of the games. So yeah, it's good to see that West Indies as well. Big up them, kind of deal with BT Sport, I think it was. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so some good deals happening this season. It's going to be an exciting PSL season. Like I said, 6 episodes across the next 6 days. So you're not short of content from me. But yeah, man. I hope you guys enjoyed this episode. I'm Ian Mohammed. Aaron, thank you for coming on, man.
No worries, Mo. As I say this every single episode, I'm always happy to come on. I do like talking Pakistan cricket. They are such an exciting team. And yeah, whenever you need me, mate, give me a message and yeah, I'll be on.
100%, man. I hope you guys enjoyed the episode. Make sure you check up on the socials, Cricket Talks Pod on Instagram. It's more blogs on TikTok. I kind of just talk and update you guys on episodes and for the guys on TikTok there. And what else is it? Twitter, more blogs_. There isn't really a Cricket Talks account there, But yeah, that's kind of it. YouTube here. So check out the stream the next 6 days. Make sure you check out all the episodes. Check out Aaron's stuff as well. Aaron, have you got any interviews coming up that people need to be aware of?
We're recording 6 podcast episodes this week, so it's a busy one. But yeah, they'll be released in due course. I don't want to reveal anything just yet.
Okay.
But
okay.
Podcast, give it a listen. Simple as that. But yeah, also for everyone viewing / listening to this, follow Mo, of course. As I said right at the beginning of today's podcast, work hard, Mo. I feel like people need to recognize that. So yeah,
thank you, man.
Go and follow Mo on all his social media.
I got some news last night. I checked up on the charts. And I made it clear, I think 5 or 10 episodes in, the goal at the end of the year, or the goal for the podcast, is by the end of the year, be in the top 100 podcasts for cricket in as many countries as possible. You know, we entered New Zealand a couple weeks back. I think we were 16th, we peaked, and we're like 20th something in New Zealand. And we've now entered England as well, which is nuts. 50th in England. I think we're just above one of ESPN's one, which is crazy to think because... Like, I've got Apple earphones with an Android and this 480p camera. But yeah, I appreciate all your support, man. Big up all you guys who are checking out my stuff. Again, if you want to help me reach the goal, there's no Patreon or nothing. I was very close to thinking about doing a Patreon, but I don't think it's worth it. But yeah, make sure, if you want to support my stuff, just stream my episode. Whether you're listening or not, stream it. And then you just push me up the podcast. Same for Aaron's County Cricket Podcast. Go stream his stuff. It's mainly a lot of interview stuff, especially with county cricket not happening right now. So go check out his stuff. And yeah, man, I've been Mohammed. This has been Aaron. I hope you could join this episode. Look out for the next 6 days for more episodes. And yeah, man, I'll see you guys on the next episode of Cricket Talks.